Let's get in here to Leviticus tonight. I've saved me a little bit of time. Not much, but I just, you know, we'll let it go. And I planned a message. I got about a 40-minute message that I prepared. You know, I'm not going to preach all that tonight, but I just believe in letting the Lord lead. And, you know, sometimes what the Lord wants us to do is just praise Him. You know, He just wants us to talk about Him. Amen. And so I want us to just look at it a little bit here tonight in Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7 and in verse 11. We're going to see a little bit here. Verse 11, he says, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. And if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, and fine flour." Watch this last word. What's that? Fried. Amen? I just say amen right there, because that's when it's good. When I seen that, I thought, amen. It's all right, fried food's okay. Anyhow, let's get back to verse 13. It says, "Beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering," what's that next word? "Leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priests that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning." I want to talk a little bit tonight about this thing of the peace offering. The thanksgiving offering is one of the peace offerings. There's three of them there. We're just going to look at the one. I just thought maybe it would be good to look at the thanksgiving offering. Amen. And so, have you ever had someone get mad at you for no good reason? Or say something that, though it was true, they still should not have said it? Right? Maybe a spouse gets upset or there's a disagreement with the family member. You know what I'm saying? Something like this happens. Then they come in with a pecan pie. Right? You know what I'm saying? And they come in with a pecan pie and they offer it as a peace offering, right? Yeah, offer it as a peace offering. You sit down together with a slice of pie and peace is made. Isn't that good? Pecan pie will do that. You know, a husband brings flowers and hopes that peace is going to be made. You know what I'm saying? This cookie laugh, that don't work. No, and so listen, when we think of a peace offering in our day and age, we think about something like that. We think about this kind of thing that kind of just smooths over things. The peace offering here in the Old Testament is nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. That's not what the peace offering is. We don't think of it in the terms of what we think of it today. We do not make peace or settle a disagreement or hard feelings, and especially not sin with God with the peace offering. We don't settle things. We don't settle, make peace with God by giving Him something. Amen? Okay, I hope y'all get that tonight. We're not going to make our relationship right with God because we... Listen, God isn't sitting here waiting for us to give Him something so we can be at peace with Him. Right? There's only one way to be at peace with God, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, to the contrary, this peace offering is what we offer God at a time of peace. See? Not at a time of trial, a time of difficulty, or a time of sin. The peace offering is when life is good, right? And things have gone good and God is blessed, right? There's this thing, it's the free will offering. And this offering is what we refer to here as a free will offering, meaning it's given of our own free will. It's not a requirement. That's what I'm saying to you. It's not a tithe, right? It's not a requirement. It's not an annual thing. I'm talking about even in the law, it wasn't something. It's not a necessity. You don't have to do it. You understand? It's not a way to gain favor with God. It didn't cleanse sin. It didn't build up brownie points with God. Right? By the way, we don't build brownie points with God. What is a filthy rag going to do for God? You know what I'm saying? Right? So we don't build brownie points with God. None of that. By the way, it doesn't give us any spiritual gain. If I do that, I'm going to get this thing from God. This free will offering, nonetheless, though, I want you to get this, was not something that was petty, half-hearted, or leftovers. Look with me, or turn over there to Leviticus chapter 22. I want you to just think about this free will offer just for a moment. And though it didn't gain any of those things to us, and we gave it out of our own free will, what we find here in chapter 22 and verse 17, look here, he talks a little bit about this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons and to the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or even of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblations for all his vows and for all his free will offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves of the sheep or of the goats. But whosoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be, what's that word? Acceptable for you. And whosoever offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broke or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scab, ye shall not offer these things unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts. Superfluous is the word. I know. Some of y'all are going to think, that's not the way that's... But sometimes when you get reading, you just... Anyhow. Okay. Some of y'all didn't even catch it. That's all right. That mayest thou offer for a free will offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut. Neither shall you make any offerings thereof in your land. So then, I thought this was a free will. I thought I was giving this because I wanted to. Listen, so then, here's what we learn about this thing. Listen, what we find here is that this free will offering that we give to God, not of necessity or a burden, but by our own free choice, is still something that's to present, that is being presented to the God of all creation. Hey, listen, this isn't just, I'm going to give it because, since I want to do it, I get to do it how I want to. No, this is still the God of all. And we're coming before Him to bring Him something. And so God said, listen, there's an attitude involved here. One that says this, one that says something like this, I'm giving it to the Lord for free, not because I have to, so if I give anything, it should be good enough. No, we could find ourselves like that. We could get that attitude a little bit. We often like to give God our leftovers, right? I get something new, so I'm going to give my old things to the church for the Lord. Right? And then we're kind of proud of ourselves that I gave my old stuff that I was going to throw out. Well, I could have sold that, but I'm giving it to the Lord. Like, listen, by the way, that in and of itself is fine. I'm not trying to say, the preacher just said he didn't want old stuff. That's not what I'm saying, folks. Don't misunderstand here. What becomes the problem is when we have the attitude that I've done this great favor to God that ought to have some benefit to me. Look what I did. Listen. But not only an attitude that's involved here, there's a character involved here. One that says, if I'm going to present this to God, it ought to be the best I have. See, we're not talking about just flippantly giving to God as a last-minute, emotional-filled action. Y'all have seen folks pass the plate and the preacher come back and say, hey, not quite enough in there, let's go through again. I've heard of this stuff, and they go and pass and folks are like, yeah, I mean, you know, and you just get stirred, and then you give it, and later on you're like, what did I do that for? You know what I mean? That's not what we're talking about here, this flippant kind of this thing. Listen, this offering to the Lord is prepared. It's a value, and it should cost us something. Turn with me over there to 2 Samuel. I want you to see something real quick over here in 2 Samuel. He talks about this here. 2 Samuel chapter 24, we find King David dealing with this thing in verse 21. And he's trying to, you know, the Lord had directed him to go and buy this place to build an altar unto the Lord. In verse chapter 24, 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 21. And Arana said, wherefore is my Lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arana said unto David, let my Lord the king take and offer up what thou seemest good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood, and all these things that Arana as a king giveth unto the king. And Arana said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arana, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Here's the point I want to get to. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. There's a character with this. If I'm going to give something to the Lord, it ought to be prepared. And it ought to have cost me something if I'm wanting to give it as a free will. It's not my leftovers. It's not the leftover of my life. It's not, hey, if I got any time left, I'll come and help. Right? You see what I'm saying? If I got any time left, or I got anything left, then I'll give a little bit of energy to the Lord. Listen, that's why it's a bad idea to wait to spend time with the Lord at the end of the day. Because sometimes at the end of the day, there ain't no time left. Certainly ain't no energy left. And so, listen, God doesn't, you know, by the way, we're not talking about here what God wants from us. We're talking about what we're going to offer Him as a free will offering. But He said, if you can do a free will offering, not just anything is good. Not just anything is acceptable. This offering, though freely given is not our choice how we give it. Listen, it is still being presented to God. I can't think this way. Because I want to give you a special gift of whatever it is I want to give you, that you'll be glad that I gave it to you. Right? So I used to, I like on occasion to eat sardines and mustard sauce. Amen. My mom used to let me pick them out when we were kids. At times, we grew up poor as when I was a little kid. And so I don't know why as a little kid I like sardines and mustard. I don't know why. That's weird as a little kid. But I was probably 7, 8 years old. We'd go to the grocery store. My mom would tell my sister, you could pick out one thing. And back then, you could get a can of sardines for, you know, 50 cents or something like that. Now they're like $3. I don't know. Anyway, and so she'd let me. And I picked out a can of sardines and mustard sauce. Woo, doggy. You know, that's when you still rolled them up. You know what I mean? And, but my wife doesn't even want me to open that can up in the house. Stanks the whole house up. So, you know, I'm just saying this. I can't choose the gift based on my will. See the illustration I'm trying to give you here? If I go and give my wife an open can of sardines, hey, I got these for you, sweetie. She's like, you get that sweetie out of here. You know what I mean? Listen, I'm just saying this. I can choose to give of my free will. I just don't get to choose how I'm going to give it. This is to God. Right? We're giving it something to Him. And God, I want to give you something. God said, okay, great. But I am God. And so I'm not going to take bruised, broken, maimed, scurvy. I mean, just the list goes on, doesn't it? On and on. So let's go back there to that Thanksgiving offering in Leviticus chapter 7. In verse 12, and if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes, mingled with oil, and unleavened cake wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, upon flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened cakes with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace, and of it shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood. And listen. This Thanksgiving offering, it's a wonderful picture of what this peace offering of Thanksgiving is really all about. It's this. This is a rejoicing. It's a time to give thanks for what God had done for them. That's what this Thanksgiving. God did something for them. Now they're giving thanks, right? God. Sometimes this one particularly wasn't specific things. Some there was a vow, and sometimes there was a thing when God gave victory. This peace offering was there, but the Thanksgiving offering was just God. I just want to say thank you, kind of like we did tonight. I just want to praise the Lord. You listen. Look, the sinner. Watch this. Think about this with me for a moment. The sinner had opportunities to come before the Lord at that altar to draw near to Him with the sacrifice. Slitting that throat, shedding that blood to come near to the Lord to cover his sin. And he got that opportunity to have that. He'd enter into this place and he'd be a part of it. No matter how grotesque it may have been, he had the joy and privilege of experiencing this reconciliation with God. You see what I'm saying? I mean, wasn't it great when you got saved? You remember that day that you got saved and whew, or you watch somebody else get it. It's so exciting. Listen, you just got blood sprinkled over your sin. Why is that exciting? Well, it is exciting. And so, listen, for the sinner in the Israeli camp, when they did that, in the Jewish camp, they would do that thing, and they would get to go in and experience some a little too often. You know what I'm saying? They'd experienced that reconciliation, that getting right with God, coming to the altar and saying, God, I've done wrong, and I've come and I want to get forgiveness and this. And man, what a wonderful thing when you get right with God. Amen. It's not as good as salvation, but it can be as sweet. So the just, righteous man that lived a life that pleased God didn't have that opportunity at the altar. Man, they look like they had a good time coming out of there. Wonder if I maybe should go dabble in a little sin. You know what I mean? Because I'd like to, maybe I'm going to go, you know, do something, steal a little something and get, you know, and have to go get that. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we get that little thing. So Christian folk are kind of look at the world and say, huh, I wonder why, you know, man, when they came and got right, everybody was like, amen. And must have been a wonderful thing. I'm just thinking outside the box a little bit of what it looked like. Listen, the just man, they lived that life that pleased God and never had that opportunity. No, nor did they want to. They didn't want to go say, I think I just got to sin a little bit to get up in there. No, I don't think that was the case. But God made a way. He made this offering, this free will offering, possible, a way to experience that closeness with God at the altar. But instead of reconciliation, it was an offering of thanks. Whew, I'd rather thank God for what He did than thank God for giving me for what I did. Amen? Let that sink in a little bit. I'd rather thank God for what He did than ask Him for forgiveness for what I did. Wow, I'm telling you. Listen, this offering was different from the others. It wasn't completely consumed. It wasn't like a burnt offering. A portion was burnt on the offering to God. A portion would be given to the priest for his family. Then the remainder, watch this. This is good. Y'all catch this. The remainder would be returned to the offerer. You see, look at verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until in the morning. Listen, it was given to him and his family for a feast. This offering would be consumed when? One day. Don't let it go until the morning. I'm talking about it was a full gluttony feast. None left to the morning. Whew. Here's what happened. So they'd invite, watch this, they would invite family, friends, the hungry and the poor to partake of this Thanksgiving offering. I wonder if we'd have anything in our culture like that today. Wouldn't that be neat if we had something like that? Y'all with me? Yeah, we're not under the law, all right? Amen? Whew, praise the Lord for that. We don't have these same Levitical laws directing and instructing us today, but the spirit of these things is still there for us. Let's remember this. When we're giving thanks, who does the thanks belong to? We ought to give thanks one for another. Let another man praise thee. Okay, it's all right. It's all right to give. But here's what we do. We give thanks to God for them. Right? That's okay. That's all right. When you're giving thanks and you're doing that among your folks, that's okay. But let's make sure we give it to Him who thanks belongs to. That's He's the one. This altar, can I say, this altar right here that we have, whether we use the steps or these front pews, nobody likes to sit the front. It's spitting range, you know what I'm saying? And so we use that as our altar. Listen, that's for in the New Testament, that's our altar. No blood is needed there. The blood's already been spilled. Can I tell you, this altar isn't just a place of repentance. It's not just a place of commitment or conviction. But it's also a place of thanksgiving. I want you to get a hold of that with me tonight. We don't just use this altar when we need to get right. We can also use this altar when we are right. We want to thank God for keeping us right. Don't be a stranger to it. Amen. Don't be afraid of this altar. I think the reason the temple was in the middle of the camp of the Jews was so they could see that fire going. They could see people getting right. They could see the thanksgiving. You know, when they seen others do it, and encourage them to do it also. The altar, by the way, folks, the altar isn't just for us. It's for the Lord. It's also be a testimony to others that God is important enough. Let's not be a stranger to that thing. Giving thanks is wonderful. Isn't it? I mean, listen. It's more wonderful than getting right because of our sin. I'd rather give thanks any day than have to ask God to forgive me for my sin. You understand? Now, we need to forgive. No, don't misunderstand. I don't want the need to have to be up there asking God all the time, God, I did it again. You know what I mean? I'd rather say, God, thank you for keeping me from that temptation. Father, I do pray that you'd help us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts. Or give us a desire to know you, to thank you. God, you've been so good to us. And your grace is so big. Mercy is overwhelming. Lord, tonight we just want to say thank you. Lord, even as tomorrow we maybe sit together at a meal with some folks, and maybe we're by ourselves. Whatever that situation is, Lord, we would still give thanks to you, the one who it's due to. Lord, we give you thanks for all your goodness to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to close with a chorus. It's not in the book. I don't know how many might know it, but it's called "I Love You, Lord." Have you y'all familiar with that chorus at all? Play through. Let's all stand together. If you don't know, we'll sing it through a couple times, and it's just short.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
How many have never heard that song? So, I want to tell you, it was a lady by the name of Lori Klein. She was a native of Wisconsin. She learned to play the piano, auto harp, and guitar. She started writing songs at the age of 16. At 24, she met and married her husband while at Central Oregon Community College. Their life was simple and difficult. And as they started a family with no money to spare, Lori described, "I love you, Lord, as a gift from heaven, as the lines flowed effortlessly one after another." She was a young mother living in a small camper while her husband attended college in 1974. Isolated in the Oregon wilderness, she had no community, no nearby friends, and no local church body to call home. Making things worse, she did not drive, so she could not go visit friends or family who lived farther away than walking distance. Her loneliness drove her to invest more fully in her daily time of devotion to God. The song rose out of her daily quiet time in the morning before her toddler woke up. The words tumbled out of her mouth as she quietly played the guitar. Recognizing they had some merit, she quickly wrote them down. That's the song we sing. Sing it one more time through.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet song in your ear.
Amen. We're going to be dismissed. Please come back and join us for some baked goods. And you got to eat some and take some with you. That's how that's going to go. Because otherwise I'm going to get fatter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. And thank you for these folks here tonight, and Lord, for just thank you for all your goodness. And Lord, we do want to praise you. We love you. Certainly not like you love us, and yet, Lord, we want to love you more. So, Lord, I pray that you would receive our thanksgiving, and thank you for these provisions for us here tonight. We'll ask for your blessings now, our time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.